Yes.
So I'm Ed Steele, and I'm going to be talking about functional programming, pure functions, and how to handle exceptions in a purely functional way, as embodied by the Von Trapp family. So imperative code executes statements to produce effects. I think we all know that. On the other hand, functional code is about evaluating expressions to produce values, and functions are themselves values. Pure functions are best summed up data in, data out. And all these terms apply to them as well, but basically a function, if it's pure, just operates on its arguments. It just produces a value, and it has no effect on the external system. So because it doesn't have a context and doesn't have side effects, a pure function is easier to refactor, easier to test, easier to make parallel, I'd argue easier to understand than a function that has a context and has side effects elsewhere in the system. And you can write them in non-functional languages too, but it's harder in some than others. So here's a pretty simple function. Add 30 to a number, pass in 5, you'll get 35 out. Very simple, very clearly data in, data out, and it's pure. So it's easy to test, refactor, parallelize, everything else. So how about this one? Divide 30 by a number. If you pass in 5, you'll get 6. That looks pretty good. If you pass in 0, you'll get an exception. So that's no data's coming out there. If we sort of generalize this idea, look at functions calling other functions, here, if it's all pure, we just see data flowing through, control flowing through, very straightforward. But if an exception is thrown here, all the rest of this doesn't happen. And it doesn't just return back to here. It goes until something catches the exception. So that's pretty clearly impure. And it should make you feel that way. So Uji last week talked about continuations and expressing them as a value. So if we could bring that, continuation. So if we could bring that idea of expressing control flow as a value, we can have exceptions, but they will be passed back as data, and we maintain purity, and we get all the benefits of purity. So Scala provides something to help with this. Type called try, which is either a success or a failure. And our new version behaves pretty much the same way with when you pass in 5, you just get a success of 6. And otherwise, you get a failure. But you're getting data back of the type try int. So you still have a pure function there. So it's easy to test, easy to refactor, easy to parallelize, everything else. But you might say, it was easy before we had ints. Now I've got to work on try ints as well as ints. So I've got to rewrite all my functions. That's not the case because functions are values, so it's very easy to transform them. So try provides map. So we have our function int to int. We map it from the try, and now we can add 30 to a try int and get a try int back. That box just means success. If we try and map on a failure, we just get a failure. So data flows through. We handle failures when we want to handle them, but we don't have to try. We don't have to catch exceptions that are thrown from some other random place in the system. Another drawback you might have seen before, it was very easy to call several int functions again and again, pass the result from one to the next. There's something to help with that too, which is flat map and Scala. So here we're passing the value through. We're getting a success out, but we're taking the int to pass into the next thing. So we don't get try of try of try of try, we get a try of int. So that all works pretty well. And if you get a failure, again, that just gets passed through. So this way of being able to pipeline things is so useful. Scala has a special syntax for it. This is kind of what most of our endpoints look like in our Scala services. This is actually flat mapping each step along the way, which might produce a failure. And you either get a successful response out at the end, or you get the first thing that went wrong. And then you can handle that failure as you want to. I'm not going to talk about monads, but that's when I would. The other way this is useful is this general shape of being able to flat map, which is what monads provide. You don't just need to use it for potential failures. You can use it for asynchronous results. You can use it for values that might be null. And using map and flat map, you don't need to rewrite any functions. You can just lift them into the context of that thing. So that's very useful. So, questions?
Yeah, in the process flow that you showed 2 slides back, this one.
Yeah.
So the result, let's say process parsed fails.
Yes.
You get a try back, you get a failure back.
Yes.
The result, like, how do you know at which point it failed? Because one of those is going to pass, like, let's say three of those have arithmetic exceptions.
Yeah.
In their failed chunk. How do you know which call or which line you failed on?
Yeah, if you're in that situation, you'd either need to break this block up, or, in terms of the services, generally, we just want to send a response. So the exception can hold all the information that we need for that response.
And it's part of the failure block.
Yeah, right. So if you had an arithmetic exception that said divide by zero and one that said, out of bounds for an integer, if you handle it the same way, it's just in that message. So it's.
Okay. That chain doesn't finish the yields at whatever point it breaks, right?
Yeah.
So like create JSON doesn't get it.
Right. So you can look at it as behaving just like a try block with throwing an exception, but each of these parts is much easier to test and reuse and all the rest.
Thanks a lot.
Just one question.
Sure.
Do you use Scala in Hadoop at all? Do you know?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of libraries. I'm not sure we've looked into it too much, but. Sure.
Thanks.